Okay, so I turned the lights off because remember last week I did it and it was less oppressive. Is this okay?
Yeah.
That was pretty resounding. So yeah, here's what I think we're gonna do. We gotta thank B minus Brian Hoyt who did it. But what, if we did a little bit of a dimmer switch maybe? So it's not, you know what I mean? Keep the lights as they are, but put a dimmer on them. But I can see y'all suffering out there, so I turned it off. We good today, guys? We good? Okay, because here's the thing. We're going to head to Weird Town real fast. I don't know if any of you are science-minded people. We're going to do some science today. I'll let you in behind the curtain a little bit. I think Pastor Dave will understand and agree with me on this one. Sometimes when you're praying about what to talk about and you don't blah, 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 and you start to think about, well, hey, what about when I talked about this before? Sometimes you're tempted to say, do I really circle back to that? Am I being lazy? And there was a pastor friend of mine who said one time, if a pastor refuses to repeat a message or touch back on something, that's him saying, I did it so well the first time that I don't need to do it again. And I know me better than that. And so today we're going to do something. Seriously, guys, if you're guests, this is not what we normally do. We're going to talk a lot of science, but I'm not going to make it nerdy. Okay, so once again, I want to cite khouse.org, which is Chuck Missler's ministry, for some of the material. Harvard University's Quantum Physics published journals of October 2000. Doug Hamp, Billy Crome, and some more folks that I listen to. So in other words, this isn't coming from me. But I'll tell you where it comes from. As you know, I'm a stay-at-home dad, pastor, okay? Melanie, that's my wife, she teaches at Brush and Wire, she teaches Spanish. So she leaves at 7 o'clock in the morning, she comes home at 4. And it's sink or swim for me. And most days it's swim, some days it's a resounding sink. But that means this, that means that I have a total of 5 hours away from my children every week. Now here's what I mean. Prayer and Bible study, daddy works Wednesday night, and then 2.5 hours at church. Oh, by the way, they're still in the building. So technically 3 hours away from my kids a week. That's not me complaining, I'm building a story. Well, the idea came up, Melanie says, my family lives in Syracuse. And actually it was my idea, thanks to Pastor Dave, trying to be a good husband. I said, hey babe, maybe you take the kids and go visit your side of the family. I don't need to be there. You don't get what I'm saying? Read between the lines. I don't need to be there, but you can go. And what it was is me trying to bless her and, you know, give her that gift to spend around her mom, her dad, her brother, and her sister-in-law. You understand what I'm saying? But dude, do you know how hard that is for me? I go to bed next to my son, Alex. I wake up next to my son. Everywhere I go, there are my children. Some days that's awesome. Some days it's not so awesome. But can I tell you what creeps in when you send your family down the road when it's everything you care about in the world? Fear. Fear. I'm the one who catches him when he falls off the bed. I'm like, whoa, don't drink that. Keep your hand on a light socket. I'm the guy, right? I'm the protector. And we have special daddy superpowers. You all know this. We can just sense when they're going to do something stupid and stop them at the last second, Kirk. You know what I'm saying? My gift to you. Go home and YouTube Dad Saves. Kid's about to fall off the bed, right? Another guy's up like this. He goes, falls and grabs him. Right? That's a dad. I'm not mommy, lovey, cuddly. I'm daddy protector. You know what I'm saying? So, Tuesday, they piled in the RAV, and there they go. Everything I care about in the world, driving away in a RAV4. And what knocked at my door? Hey, they're gone. There's room in here. How about fear? You want to watch some TV? Says fear. You want to hang out with me for 3 days? Says fear. And Jesus is going, you don't have to. You think that's going to be your best life, AJ, for the next 3 days? No, Jesus, but it's just so golly. Kicks him, right? So having thought of this fear stuff, any dads get me on this? Right. Good. Make sure you're with me. I preach about what God's doing in my life. And so that brought me back to a message I gave about a year ago. And I titled it Fear, but it also got called Time and Space. Okay, but I want to show you something. Here's what I don't do as a pastor, as a preacher. I don't think, and Jesus is the same way in this way, he modeled it for us. I don't think it's okay for me to just go, don't this, don't that, see you. You know what we'll do instead? We're going to walk out why the Bible says over and over again, do not fear. So as I dig into this, I want you to recall if maybe you're a bit of a worrier, or if maybe you've been prone to fear, or maybe even if you've lost sleep in the last week thinking about something. Today's message is for you. Let's hang out with the Apostle Peter for a second. We broke it up into chapter and verse, guys. This was a letter from Peter to someone else. And Peter advises us, believers. He says, be self-controlled and alert. Because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now, time out. You don't have to believe in the dark forces for them to be real. They don't care if you believe in them or not. Really. Okay? And if Hollywood has sold you this lie that our spiritual enemy has a pitchfork and horns and okay, that's not the reality. The reality of it all is there was an angel, a cherub, which some say that's not even an angel. It's higher. Seraphim, cherubim, thrones. Okay? So he was a cherub. Perfect in beauty and wisdom, says the Old Testament, who fell from God's grace and rebelled. And why did he do that? Let me ask you. I'll give you my speculation. Don't ever take my word for it. Get in the Word of God. This cherub, perfect in wisdom and beauty, watched as Father God breathed himself into dust man, Adam. He gathers up a bunch of dust and breathes himself into this weak, fragile piece of dust. And yet here's this cherub, perfect in wisdom and beauty, of fire and right? Go read that, where he walks among the stones and all that. And he watches God breathe himself into this. And you know what he does? He says, I'm not going to serve dust, man. No. Look at me. I'm God's greatest creation, essentially, is what the Bible alludes to. And you're going to love him? You're going to love her? Anybody ever hear that voice in their head? God loves you after all you've done? Anybody following me? I'll turn the lights back on, guys. You got to nod and stuff. I can't. Thank you. I don't care if you get whiplash. I need your help today. So you're like, the enemy, the devil, riles around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Why? Why me? He hates you because of what God did to humanity. It's nothing personal. Strictly business. And if you don't understand this, then you won't be on guard. Or what did Peter say? Be alert. La, 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 get you nowhere in spiritual warfare. For your kids, for your family, for your marriage, be alert because he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. What is it? What's the word before lion? Say it. Does it say biting? Oh, that's what fear gets you to. Fear wants you to think it says biting. Scratching, killing, devouring. No, it says roar. And I'm here today to tell you that that's the enemy's main tactic in your life. If he can get you into a place of fear, you've already lost. Amen, anybody? It's good, right? He prowls around like a roaring lion because that's his main tactic and main weapon, because if he gets you into fear, you have no more power. And I'm talking about laying in your bed at night and not sleeping. I'm not talking about sitting on, oh, me so scared. No, I'm talking about worry, anxiety, fear, these things. And Peter is telling us this is the main tactic. We learn in the book of Job, we learn that this lion of ours is actually on a leash from God. Go check that out in the first chapter of J-O-B. Go check it out. He's permitted to do only so many things. Christian, he's not allowed to just rip through your household. He's not allowed to just take you over and end you. He's not allowed to. And someone penned the phrase and said this, the devil is actually God's devil. God, do you understand that? So again, fear. Should we fear? Should we fear? Should we fear? Here's his tactic. And you've got protection in the Lord God, especially in Christ Jesus, obviously. The lion can only do what God allows him to do. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go on a strange journey. Some of you may not enjoy this message. Give me some grace. And others are really going to latch on to this step-by-step instruction as to why we are not to fear. Hold that tight, because the reason we're going to go on this trail is to show you why not to fear. Okay. First things first, we're going to talk about where God is. We come from different systems, guys. Some people, I'll tell you what, I didn't grow up in church at all. I had no idea anything about God. But when I did go to, let's say, weddings and funerals, they tend to be in really big buildings. And so I tended to sit there and feel really, really small. So if you asked young AJ, where's God? I'd say, way up there. Way up there. Up. Is that a correct answer? Let's look into this. Where is God? So let's start with this. First off, we have to examine our ideas about time. Stick with me on this one. We're used to this. Let's look at this slide. We're used to this, and it's not necessarily wrong, but we're used to this. Something starts on the left, time moves this way, and ends on the right. For example, the Roman Empire starts such and such AD, BC obviously, and ends a little AD. So you think time is just this linear thing, and this is going to have everything to do with fear in God, by the way. You know what happens after this if we accept this version of time? Next. We think that eternity, heaven, is having lots of time. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. I'll have no less days to sing God's praise than when I first begun. I'm here to tell you today that's nice thought, but it's incorrect. Heaven is not having a lot of time. Heaven is being outside of time. So no less days, you're not going to measure days in heaven. How are you going to do that? There's no more time. God is outside of time. Please just hang. I promise I'll tie it all together. All right. So when we encounter the idea of God, we think of someone who has lots of time, and that's bad physics. Here's what we've learned. Einstein, early in the 1900s, taught us, without a doubt, that time is actually a physical property. Okay. Does anybody know what an atomic clock is? Okay, an atomic clock is simply a clock that our highest universities and government uses that instead of relying on pendulum swings or lesser properties, it uses like cesium or ammonium to keep a perfect time. So our highest universities have these. In fact, there's one in Colorado and there's one in Seattle. And every year, the one in Colorado needs to be reset because it needs to be reset to counter the fact that it's higher in elevation. Oh, yeah, good. Yeah, good, you're latching onto this, you're getting interested in this. In fact, I'll tell you this. Mathematically, I can prove to you that if I took an atomic clock and Mike and Yvette built a tower that was 100 meters high, right here, and I put the atomic clock on it, it will speed up by one part in 10 to the 14th. Because gravity affects time. My life starts here, ends here. Maybe we don't understand it. Ooh, let's keep going, guys. Let's look at this atomic clock experiment that our government did in the 1971. Long time ago. They put an atomic clock on a plane and sent it around the world going east, and it lost 0.06 microseconds. Westward, it gained 0.267 microseconds. Wait, so time is not this thing like a wall that just is what it is, what it is? Not at all. I promise I'm building something. This is the one. If you took two people, let's say Timmy and Tommy, they're twins, and they were born at the exact same time. You know what's going to happen? We're going to send Timmy, let's say, we're going to send him to our nearest star. Our nearest star is 4.5 light years away. If we sent him there, I'll just skip right to the speed of light. If we sent him there at the speed of light, he would be 4.5 years there and 4.5 years back. Timmy would be 9 years older. The Earth will have aged 636 years. Do you understand it? That ought to mess with you. Because time is that much different in space and revolving around speed. We just discovered gravitational waves 2 months ago. I don't know if any of you follow physics. Greatest discovery in your lifetime. That time is different around black holes. Time is different around certain planets. So this idea of time, guys, we've got to let it go if we're going to understand God and we're going to understand fear. I promise this is all about it. So when we think of God, we think of, you know, having lots of time. That's eternity. Time is a physical property for people living on Earth. Okay? There are questions. People say this. Well, when we pass away, do we sleep for a time? Do we all wake up at the great white throne judgment? What? You're still thinking that after you leave Earth, tick, 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 tick. Like my father passed away, what? Well, actually, 10 years ago last week. Has he been waiting? Abraham Lincoln in the grave, waiting? Judgment hour. No, they're outside of time, people. Time is a physical property. And when you leave here, to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ for the believer. So how can that happen? We don't all die at the same time. Right, time is for people. Time is for Earth. And I touched on this with the kids' questions last week. You guys were here, right? I don't know if the kids really got it, but does God know all things? That's where we're going with this. Because God is outside of time. Boom, spun it up, has full power and control over it. It's not left to right, having lots of time. He's outside of time. This is a big deal. He is able to see Adam and Eve simultaneously with the service going on right now. He sees AJ born. He sees AJ as a father. He sees AJ as an old man all at the same time. And it's not left to right, guys. It's more like this for him. And he can be in the garden, and he could be at the end all at the same time because he's not bound by it. That is a big God, you guys. That is a big God. So let's come back down to earth. That's the whole point, guys. Where has God assigned himself in your life? Because he's outside of time. So where is God, I asked you? As we're talking about whom then shall I fear or what shall I fear? I'll tell you where God is. God is in your right now. Or you can say this, your eternity present. Okay? In other words, fear is often looking forward, right? God's not there. God is here now. Anybody getting where I'm warming up? It's grilling season. That steak's going to start sizzling pretty soon, isn't it? It is. So we sit there and we think about this, and God's sitting right next to you going, oh, wait. Come on. He's sarcastic to me. There's no Bible in that. But I leave my eternity present where God has chosen to be to fantasize about a reality that's not here yet, and he can't be there. He can't be there because he's chosen to resign himself, ready, with you. If I want to be with my son, what do I got to do? I got to go be where he is. Your loving father said, I'm not in your vain imaginings of what could go wrong. I'm right here now. Oh my God, anybody getting that? So when we say, where is God? And you say, high and above in heaven, looking down. No. Actually, that's actually not true. He is in our eternity present right now. Fear is about the future. And the reality is, he's with us here. I had that fear about being away from the kids. That's the future. And in my mind, I heard the lies that, you know, if something happened to them, I let them down. I should have been there, blah, blah, blah. Just all the scenarios you play, right? And I created a false future. This is what I'm getting at. When that time does become my reality, my eternity now, God will be there. So it works both ways. I'm not in that future that you're fearing, AJ. But when you get to it, I'll actually be there. Do you understand that? He cannot be in my imagining of the future because he doesn't choose to be there in our lives. He can only be in my now. When that time becomes the now, he'll be right there with me and I can call on him and his promises. Let's look at this slide. Here's a promise I can call on in the moment. I can say, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. But not on Saturday thinking about Wednesday. Do you understand that? When Wednesday comes, my grace is sufficient for you, but not when you're worrying about it. So we're building a case against fear, but I'm showing you step by step why, and we're even using science to show it. I'm outside of time. I'm bigger and I'm greater than time. I've chosen to be with you now. Knock it off, laying in your beds, being afraid, because when the time comes, my grace will be there, but not a moment before. Let's do the next one. When you're in it, when you're having to do stuff, you can say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But in your vain imaginings, you have no power. That's true. In eternity present, God has given you this. And that's when you can call upon the promises of God. God is not bound by time. Rather, he's outside of it. He's chosen to be with us. And not in our vain imaginings, of course. I'll tell you about this, guys. I had a unique sort of childhood. My birth mother problems. She never was a part of my life. And we left Rochester when I was like two-ish. I don't even know. It has to do with the mafia and other stuff. My father brought us up here, my brother and myself, and met my stepmom, who turned out to be my stepmom. She's the one I call mom. So if I ever say mom, that's mom, okay? But she's not actually my mother. But growing up, I always had this irrational fear of something happening to my father. And I don't know how my mom knew it, but she did. And I was so scared of that as a little boy. Something happening to specifically him. Maybe something inside of me knew that, like, if something happens to him, nobody has ownership of me. I've not been adopted and my mother's nowhere to be found. I'm really in trouble. Maybe that was it. I don't know. But I'll tell you what, on a day like any other, Tuesday, June 20th, 10 years ago, it happened. And so for 26 years, I mean, consciously 24, I guess, I had feared this thing, Mike. And I don't mean, like, I mean rattle your molars type of fear. You know what I'm saying? That recurring nightmare over and over and over again. But then here's what I'm here to tell you today, guys. At 7 o'clock in the morning, Tuesday, June 20th, when it happened, God was standing right there. And he said, oh, I was waiting for you right here. But I wasn't going to be in your imaginings of it. But when it happened, it didn't happen like my imagination said it. There was this hand underneath my entire life holding me together. Oh, I cried, I screamed, I took up smoking again, I did all the stuff you shouldn't do. But underneath, there was someone holding me together. Anybody been there? When you go through something, Brenda, like you've been through in the last year, chemo and radiation and that diagnosis that's in fear is crouching at your door going, this is it, this is it. And Jesus goes, excuse me. That first day she goes in for treatment, I'm going to be sitting right next to her. Not the night before if she's worrying about it. I don't do that. But I'll be right next to you. There we go. That's what we need to hear in a message like this. You kidding me? So he did. He held me together in my darkest days, but not in the vain imaginings, not in the worry, not in the fear. It's not going to happen. Let's look at 2 Corinthians, please. Thank you, Brian, for everything you do. For the weapons of our warfare, oh wait, didn't we talk about your enemy on the first slide? For the weapons of our warfare, not carnal, but mighty, mighty, mighty. Alex asked me what that word means. Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, something that has a hold of you, something that maybe keeps you doing something over and over again as a stronghold. Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And you bring it into captivity, put it in a prison cell, get a control of it. Every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ, the King. But what does it say? It says, cast down imaginations, guys. You cast down your fear of tomorrow. You cast down the daydreams of pain, hurt, loss, whatever. We are not to fear. And God is only in our now. So you cast down that imagination. Because isn't that what it is? Donna gets me. You built it. It's yours. It's not even reality. So cast it down. And then it gets put in prison, y'all, and you get control over it, and God comes up. We are not to fear. God is only in our now. And I know it was a long way to get here, guys, but I wanted you to understand why I've come to the conclusion that laying in my bed worrying about tomorrow is fruitless. That means he's really into the message, right, Chris? Bye. One last thing about time, guys. When God mentions in Ephesians, this is just real quick. God mentions in Ephesians the height, depth, width, height, depth, and breadth of his love. If you actually look into that, he taught us that time was the fourth dimension thousands of years ago. And every time science comes across the discovery, God goes like this. Told you about that a long time ago. We don't fear science here at Norwood Free Methodist Church. We love it. It's God's breadcrumbs where we get to learn more about how awesome he is. Oh my gosh, time is the fourth dimension. I didn't want to do a German accent for Einstein. Oh, I really want to now. Time is the fourth dimension, and God's going right here. Told you that. I didn't say width, height, and depth of my love. I actually gave you breadth as the fourth dimension. So let's keep going. When we're tempted to fear, wouldn't it be good to know through the Bible and through the science where God is? So we have learned when God is. Remember when I asked you in the beginning, where is God? Y'all didn't think about when is God. Now we know when God is. So let me ask you one more time. Where is God? Is he? Some of us come out of systems like that and you feel that way. So let's let him speak for himself. Let's go ahead and do this. You're going to want to strap in because that stuff was easy so far. Video? Oh, no. I was supposed to... God is near. Did I skip that? Okay. This is just an illusion. This Proverbs teaching book in the middle, it's wisdom. If you're not good at reading the Bible and don't understand a lot of things, number one, pray before you read it. Number two, pick up Proverbs and just read a proverb a day. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Closer, closer. Next one. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. So I asked you, where is God? And you said, high up in heaven. Sitting on a white throne with a white beard and a crown on, and he's a white dude. I challenge your notions, guys. Use your brains, man. God is not intimidated by our questions. But actually, I asked you, where is God? He said the Lord is near to all who call on him. So you want to see something cool? You have to understand some hard concepts to even peek at this truth. You ready? So we spoke about four dimensions, width, height, depth, and breadth, okay? We exist in three dimensions, okay? Three dimensions plus time. We are three-dimensional. Our televisions are two-dimensional, right? 2D. Well, there you go. It's easy now because you put the glasses on and there's like an illusion to make it, to give it breadth, to give it some depth, right? But I am three-dimensional. This is two-dimensional. Geeky. All it has is these two. This is going to blow your mind, guys. This is going to blow your mind, I promise. I'm going to show you a short video first. I'm going to show you a video. It's okay if he loses you. He lost me. But we're going to do this. We're going to look at God, and we're going to realize just how he's able to be near to us. Let's do the video. Again, if he loses you, just look at the pretty colors. I'm not being condescending. He lost me.
Hey everybody, thanks for watching D News today. I'm Trace. Get your brains ready. The new Christopher Nolan science fiction epic, Interstellar, was epic. It's a beautiful movie filled to the brim with so much science, and they explain some of it, but not all of it, so that's why I'm here. For example, they explain how a wormhole might look easy, but didn't explain the idea of higher dimensions as thoroughly as I would have liked. I was watching, and there were times when I got lost in just the massive quantity of science. So I figured, let's do some explaining. Dimensions of space-time are really complicated. Really, really complicated. We understand the first three because we live within them. We have mastered them even as babies. The first dimension is a point, a single point. Think of it as like a coordinate. If the whole universe was a number line from 0 to 10, one dimension would be like 6 or 3. You'd know exactly where that was in the universe. Two dimensions is also pretty simple. Two lines, two numbers. Maybe a 6 on the x-axis and a 3 on the y-axis. We now know where that is. We live in the third dimension, so we add another number line, that's the z-axis, and those three numbers tell us exactly where we are in space. In Interstellar, they get into higher dimensions. According to theoretical physics, string theory requires 10 dimensions. So we're only in 3, but physicists say that at least 10 dimensions exist. I know this is tough, but bear with me. So sticking with the coordinate system in space, let's think of you right now. Keeping it simple, you are at a latitude, a longitude, and an altitude. Those are three numbers that determine your three-dimensional location, right? What about your fourth-dimensional location? The fourth dimension, in this case, we'll use time. A timeline would be the fourth line in our group. With four numbers, we know exactly where you are in four-dimensional space. You're on top of a mountain on January 5th at 12:06 in some odd seconds. And moving any of those numbers shows a different location, anywhere in the past, present, or future, or anywhere in space. It's not too difficult to imagine so far, I hope. If you were a four-dimensional being instead of a three-dimensional one, moving along your timeline would be as easy as any other number line, just like walking down the road. So that being said, let's blow this out of the airlock a little bit. So try and imagine a world without linear time, where time is just another thing that you can move through like swimming or walking, moving backward, forward, easy. It's crazy, right? Now, what if you want to move left or right? That is the fifth dimension. What about up or down in time? Now you're in a three-dimensional place and you're moving around in time based on probability and permutations of what the three-dimensional spot could have been, is, was, or will be on different possible timelines. Quantum physics says that the fifth and sixth dimensions are the exploration of all of these possibilities and all the permutations of the choices made. Now, for the last three dimensions. If we can take a point and move through it in space and time, including all the futures and pasts possible for that point, what about moving along a number line where the laws of gravity are different? The speed of light has changed. Dimensions 7 through 10 are different universes with different possibilities and impossibilities, and even different laws of physics. These grasp all the possibilities and permutations of how each universe operates, and the whole of reality with all the permutations therein throughout all of time and space. The highest dimension is the encompassment of all of those universes, possibilities, choices, times, places, all into a single thing. This is heady stuff, for sure. But it comes into play in Interstellar a little bit with the idea of them. No spoilers here, I can't go into too much, but this is basically a rundown of what the dimensions are. 10 dimensions of space-time sounds kind of crazy, but mathematically it jives with how physicists are beginning to understand the universe using a single grand theory. Of course, there is another theory that says that there aren't 10 dimensions, but 11 dimensions, and that's a whole other thing. Let's not get into it. My head already hurts. In the end, knowing more about the dimensions and how they exist won't really help you in your day-to-day lives, unless you're a theoretical physicist. But there are people out there who study this stuff every single day and are trying to learn more about how gravity affects time, how the higher dimensions affect quantum theory. This is huge, big brain stuff, and it is stupid cool. If you see Interstellar and you want to...
Okay, so... I pointed out the spot to Brian. I was like, right there is where he lost me. Right there. Each time I watch it. I didn't show you that just to do that, okay? At the end, did you hear what he said? Knowing about dimensions and how they exist would help you in your day-to-day lives unless you're a theoretical physicist. Or a Christ follower. understanding this will actually help us as a Christ follower. Because when God says over and over and over again that he's near, science is starting to sniff out and scratch the reality of what could possibly be. It's true. Come with me on this one. It is believed, I believe personally, won't bore you with more physics. This is where we land the plane. I believe that initially we existed in the garden in all 10 dimensions. When they looked down and said, oh my gosh, we're naked. You didn't look down before. So, anybody? Come on, you know what I'm trying to say? How, they then noticed they were naked. Well, what was there before? I believe maybe that they were clothed in light. Okay, let's go on this picture. When we sinned and fell, God split the spiritual from the physical. So there's our four right there, the 4D, four-dimensional physical universe. He split the other ones off and called them the spiritual universe. Go ahead, check out khouse.org, and he really explains this. But so now we're like, things in the spiritual, we're in the physical. For example, do you regularly see angels? Do we regularly see anything in the spiritual? No, they were split. Now we got the physical and the spiritual. I'll back that up by saying this. God walked with them in the coolness of the day. They saw him. They talked with him. They had no problem being in his presence. Can that happen today? No. No, it cannot. This is what happened to us. Now, I'm telling you all this for a reason. Let's look at Joe and Jane. This is Joe and Jane. No, this is Joe. This is Joe, two-dimensional. Hey. Good artwork or what?
Yeah.
I work hard for you people. Let's go to the next one. This is his love interest, Jane, two-dimensional. Whoa, they're not getting along. Let's go back to Joe. I could do it with Joe. That's fine. Okay, so Joe exists in two dimensions. In height. Now, pretend this is not being projected, Bill. Pretend this is a big piece of paper. I didn't want to go through the trouble of, okay? So this is being projected. That's my whole point. How close can I, in my dimension, be to Joe without him having any idea? Micrometers, right? Because he only has width and height. He can't, nothing out here. I can make my presence known to him, but I can be nearer to him than anything else in this world. And he just can't perceive it. So when God said he's near, do you think maybe he means it? This could change your life. I mean that. We were looking at fear. I can be that close to him. Now, when Jane was there before they broke up, I could be equally distant. I could be equally distant to both of them, couldn't I? And yet they don't. There she is. Oh, they got back together. That's sweet. Warms my heart. Watch this. I can be equally close to both of them. How does God's working in everyone's life? How could me and that person, me and every member of Chicago, New York City, God can be in his dimension as close to every single one of us? And I forget who it was. Was it C.S. Lewis that said? I don't care. Some dude that's smarter than me. He said, God is closer to us than we are to ourselves. And so I asked you in the beginning, when we talked about this lion who's roaring around, don't we have a little bit of perspective now? That he's that near, Donna? And I'm going to lay in my bed at night and I'm going to worry and lose sleep when he's right here? Let me tell you a story. Not a big one. Not long ago, I told you, Alex and I sleep in the bunk bed because Izzy is a monster at night. We would get no sleep, so Melanie takes the bullet for both of us. She's not in here, is she? I was like, is Melanie in here? I don't know. So Alex is sleeping on my arm, under his neck. And I'm not quite sleeping yet. And I hear, he starts, and I'm like, you're okay, Bubba. And he goes back to sleep. But how foolish would it be for him to continue to fear when daddy's right here? Anybody gonna come at you? No, I have plans and weapons to keep that from happening. Guys, right? Right? If you need water, I'll go get you water, bro. If you need food, I'll get you food. Don't you sit there and stay afraid. Daddy's got you. I am near to you. And so in our lives, guys, I need a job further. What about this? What about this issue? What about the prayer requests? And God's going, I'm here. But I don't feel you. That doesn't change the reality that I'm here. Some days you'll perceive me closer than a brother, closer than a friend. And some days you won't at all. But it has not changed the reality that I am near to those who call on him. And I just proved to you through quantum physics that it's very possible. Because if we have a God who spun all this up, he's got command of all 10 dimensions. And so when you don't feel him, When you, where are you, God? And it's funny because it's like the ant crying out on, in the palm of his hand. In fact, I knew a guy one time had a dream. He was going through something real hard and he was crying out to God and he's, where are you? I don't, you're wrong. You're this and that. And God showed him. He zoomed out and he got to start seeing little bumps, little bumps, little bumps. He was in the palm of God's hand just like he promised. And Jesus says, no man can take you out of it. You're in my hand, you're in the Father's hand. You know what that means? They're cupped. We've talked about it before. How could you be in two people's hands? Brian, let's do it. Boom. Now something's in both of our hands. He doesn't just say you're in my hand. Beep. No, he's in both of our hands. Okay? Doesn't matter what you feel. And the enemy roars around, roar, roar. Well, guess what? That sounds a lot more like my little tiny cat. He goes, meow, meow, now, than a roaring lion. Because I've got this God who has given me these promises, who's closer to me than I can even perceive every day in my eternity now. So let's wrap this up, guys. Fear not appears 84 times in the Bible. Now do we see why? Because I can just see the loving dad go, don't waste your time, dude. Don't waste your time. Don't let the enemy steal your power, steal your joy, steal your years living in fear when I'm right here, right now. Where? Right here, right now. And I just, this is good, you guys. You take this. And you'll get all those minutes and hours you get back from not worrying, take up a hobby. I'm learning to play the cello. That's the truth with my time. Whom then shall I fear? We're going to sing a song here in a second. Whom then shall I fear? And it becomes a ridiculous question. Whom then shall I fear when the great author of time is that near to me and has given me his agape love? I'm not going to fear anything, guys. He's given you the promise of eternal safety if you are in Christ Jesus. If you have chosen at any time in your life to say, Jesus, you are who you say you are. Come into my life and be my Lord. You're eternally secure. You will spend eternity with your Heavenly Father face to face without the veil in all 10 dimensions. And I know that because Jesus says, well, they say now we know in part, but we'll be known fully and we'll be like he is. Let me give you one more example. Anybody want one more example of something?
10.
You gave me the permission. Jesus, after he resurrects, appears in a room through a locked door. It's a ghost! It's a spirit! No, touch me. I'm flesh. How did he do that? How did he do that, guys? I just explained it to you. It's very simple. He chose to occupy the three dimensions, then chose to stop occupying the three dimensions. Did he not? How else can a physical being do that? Touch me. I'm flesh and bone. Boom, I'm out. I'm back to all 10 dimensions now. I got mastery of all of them. And like I said, one of the apostles says, we'll be like him. We get to go back to exploring all those 10 dimensions. No more veil. We get to walk with God face to face like they did in the garden in the coolness of the day. Cool? So again, we're going to sing a song. Whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? God is right here in our right now. So let's do this. Let's worship.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near. And I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh no, you never let go through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go with every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me. And I can see a light that is coming for a heart that holds on, a glorious light beyond all compare. And there'll be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, we'll live to know you're here on the earth. And I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? We're singing, oh no, you never let go, through the calm and through the storms. Oh no, you never let go, with every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, oh Lord, you never let go of me. Yes, I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. And there will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you, still I will praise you. Yes, I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. There will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you, still I will praise you. We're singing, oh no, you never let go, through the calm and through the storms. Oh no, you never let go, with every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, oh Lord, you never let go of me. Let's sing that one more time. It's let go of me. Oh no, you never let go, through the calm and through the storms. Oh no, you never let go, with every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, oh Lord, you never let go of me. Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you for all that you are, for who you've chosen to be in our lives, for the fact that you love us so much you desire to sit right next to us and experience life with us as a loving Father. We thank you that you never let go, no matter how we feel, whether we perceive you or not, that you've chosen not to ever, ever let us go. We thank you that you are near to us, and that when we call on you, you hear us. We thank you that you're big enough to have control of our lives. There's nothing that can overcome you. When we look at the stars, Lord God, when we look around our world, and it's so much more than we can understand, it just helps us to understand how big and awesome and great and worthy of our praise you truly are. So, Father, we want to walk in obedience. We want to walk in victory in your name. Help us to not give in to fear, Lord, to instead choose to understand that you are near, and choose to allow you, Holy Spirit, to give us a ferocious and bold faith in you and who you are. We love you for all that you've done and all that you are. Please help us to feel your presence ever near this week, Father, more than ever before. Help us to choose to walk in faith that you are who you say you are, and that you will do everything you've said you'll do for us, no matter what the mountains look like, no matter how we walk. Lord, we love you. We ask for protection, that you'd keep us safe this holiday weekend. And even, Lord God, that our family members and friends would see your light shining in our lives, and that they would receive these promises you've given for themselves. Because you are so good, Lord. You are so good. So we worship you, Lord God, and it's in Jesus' name. And we're going to remind ourselves.
Oh, no, you never let go, through the calm and through the storms. Oh, no, you never let go, every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me.
In the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we receive that today. Amen. All right, everybody, have a great week. And don't